This evening we shall study together from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. Let us begin to read together from verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. Verse 5. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Verse 7. And preach, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Verse 10. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15. And saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum. And straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. Verse 22. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. Verse 23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Verse 25. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Verse 28. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. Verse 31. And he came and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. Verse 33. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. Verse 39. And he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. Verse 44. And saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen. Now, my dearly beloved, the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 1 talks about the beginning ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this particular chapter, our Lord Jesus Christ is described as the Son of God that began his ministry with power and absolute holiness. And in this particular chapter, apart from mentioning of John the Baptist being the voice of one crying in the wilderness, our Lord Jesus Christ also began his ministry by making disciples and calling Simon, Andrew, James, and John to follow him as his disciples. While in the meantime, our Lord Jesus Christ also began to heal many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. Nonetheless, let us begin to dissect the spiritual meaning of this particular chapter that are very precious, beginning from verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with the girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. Now, my dearly beloved, this particular chapter begins with the very fact that Jesus Christ is described in here in verse 1 as the Son of God. Now, first and foremost, I would like to share with you of the very fact that the Lord God has given us four gospel. That is the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, isn't it? And I would like to explain to you that our Lord Jesus Christ is represented with the four aspects of the gospels simply because in Ezekiel chapter 1, the face of the cherubs are also four faces that represent the face of the servant of God. Simply because, first and foremost, cherubs represent the angel. And the angel, according to the book of Hebrews, are but ministering spirits, and obviously God's servant, isn't it? Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, was prophesied as the servant of God. So you see, my dearly beloved, the four gospel represents the four aspects and the four faces of the cherubs, which in turn represent the four faces of a servant of God that represent our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so the four gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is equal to the four faces of the cherubs as written in Ezekiel chapter 1, as well as the four faces of our Lord God himself. Now, first and foremost, just as I've mentioned to you a little earlier, the four gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ include the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the four faces of the cherubs that is written in Ezekiel chapter 1 include the face of a man on the front side and the face of a lion on the right hand side and the face of an ox on the left hand side and ultimately the face of an eagle at the back of the head. And so if you put these four gospel together hand in hand with the four faces of the cherubs, which represent the four faces of the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, you will see the beautiful representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the spiritual meaning that is called the hidden manna. Take, for example, the face of a man is represented by the Gospel of Luke, and the face of a lion is represented by the Gospel of Matthew, and the face of an ox is represented by the Gospel of John, and the face of an eagle is represented by the Gospel of Mark. Now, I'm going to explain to you in detail the spiritual meaning and why these faces would match with the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. First and foremost, the face of a man is represented by the Gospel of Luke, simply because the face of a man represents our Lord Jesus Christ walking as the Son of Man, meek and lowly and approachable, isn't it? And so in the Gospel of Luke, standpoint of view, it begins with chapter 1 as describing from the common people of God, isn't it? That include priests, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, and the story of how John the Baptist was about to be given unto them as the prophet that would prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight, isn't it? As also written in verse 3 in here, that says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And furthermore, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, it discusses about Mary being the cousin of Elizabeth, how they would meet each other and greet each other and so on, isn't it? So you can see from the Gospel of Luke that our Lord Jesus Christ is represented walking as a Son of Man. Now, secondly, the face of a lion is represented by the Gospel of Matthew, simply because Jesus Christ, our Lord, the risen Savior, that is victorious and righteous, as well as prevail over sins and death, as well as Satan, is described and written in Matthew chapter 1 as Christ, the Son of David, as well as the lion tribe of Judah, as recorded in Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. So keep in mind, my dearly beloved, in Matthew chapter 1, that begins describing our Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of David. And furthermore, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 writes as follows, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And so the face of a lion spiritually means that our Lord Jesus Christ is always prevailing and victorious, isn't it? And in the Gospel of Matthew, describe the very fact that Christ Jesus is the Lord God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, and that God is righteous and just. In other words, it is written to unveil the righteousness and the justice of God as Christ Jesus died in the cross and rose again from the dead in order to pay all of our sin debt in full, to fulfill the righteousness and the justice of God at the cross. As the wages of sin is death, isn't it? And the very moment our Lord Jesus Christ paid it in full by dying on the cross and rose again from the dead, he became the risen Savior that is victorious over sin and death, as well as the power of darkness. Now, thirdly, the face of an ox is represented by the Gospel of John. And the face of an ox spiritually represent the servanthood of Jesus Christ that reflect the absolute obedience to the will of our Heavenly Father. For that reason, the Apostle John writes in chapter 1, the absolute humility and meekness, as well as the charity of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the standpoint of view of being a servant of God who came to serve and not be served. As written in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, as follows, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so the Apostle John wrote in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, describing our Lord Jesus Christ as a servant of God that manifests charity and absolute obedience to the will of our Heavenly Father by being the Lamb of God, isn't it? For that reason, in verse 29, it is written as follows. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And so, my dearly beloved, the Apostle John clearly expressed our Lord Jesus Christ as God is love, as well as God is light. For that reason, the Apostle John writes in chapter 1 as follows. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you see, my dearly beloved, the Apostle John described our Lord Jesus Christ as absolutely full of charity and love and absolute humility in order to reflect our Lord Jesus Christ as having the face of an ox, which spiritually means the servanthood of Christ Jesus, or being the servant of God, isn't it? Now, fourthly, the face of an eagle is finally represented by the Gospel of Mark. Now, what is the meaning of the face of an eagle? The face of an eagle written in Ezekiel chapter 1, in verse 10, spiritually means having the spiritual eyes and the spiritual position of the Son of God. For that reason, in verse 1 that we've just read, our Lord Jesus Christ is described as the Son of God, isn't it? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the gospel of Mark describes our Lord Jesus Christ from the standpoint of view of absolute power and holiness. For that reason, Mark chapter 1, verse 24 writes as follows, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. So you see, my dearly beloved, it is just amazing that the Lord God gives us four gospels that are represented by the four faces of the cherubs, which obviously is the four faces of the Lord God himself, isn't it? And the Gospel of Mark that we are currently dissecting reflect our Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord God who is absolutely holy, coming down as the Son of God. And furthermore, what is very interesting to note is the very fact that number 4 spiritually represent complete, or completed for that matter. Take for example, we've got the 4 gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and we've got the 4 faces of the cherubs as written in Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 10 that I've just shared with you, the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. And furthermore, the cherubs also have 4 wings. And so, my dearly beloved, the number 4 for that reason represent complete or completed plan of God that is to be given to each and every one of God's children, isn't it? Likewise, the number 40, which again include the number 4, also represent the same thing. Take for example, during the flood of Noah's time, we know that the Lord God sent 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ, in this particular chapter that we are about to read further down, was there in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted of Satan, as written in verse 13. Likewise, the prophet Elijah was also 40 days in the wilderness, running away from Jezebel the queen, as well as Moses was 40 years in the wilderness. So the number 40 represents spiritually of the very fact that trials and temptations will be completed. Take for example, in 40 days, isn't it? And so keep in mind, it contains the number 4. For that reason, my dearly beloved, it is very interesting and it is amazing to discover that the numbers in the scripture has spiritual meaning to every one of them that is written, isn't it? Take for example, number 7. Spiritual refers to perfection, while number 3 represent trials and tribulations, and number 4 represent completed, and so on. Nonetheless, let us continue with verse 2. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one, crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair, and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I, after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now, my dearly beloved, it is just wonderful to discover that John the Baptist was chosen to prepare the way of the Lord God in order that the people were made ready to repent of their sins and to be taught the ways of the Lord and the truth of the Word of God. And so John was sent prior to the beginning of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in order to smooth out the pathway for our Lord Jesus Christ to begin his ministry and continue on. And in here, if you notice that John was clothed with a camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and he came out from the wilderness. Now, my dearly beloved, the word wilderness in here spiritually represent a quiet place where no one is, just like in any wilderness, isn't it? Where there isn't any human being. Unlike the shopping mall, which are full of people, the wilderness is a place where there is no one. Now, in the scripture, as God's children, it is very important that we must spend time in wilderness, simply because John the Baptist was spiritually trained in wilderness. And likewise, our Lord Jesus Christ himself came out from wilderness, as written in verse 13. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. And so, my dearly beloved, what is the meaning of wilderness? Wilderness is a place whereby you and I, as God's children, have got to spend time alone, quiet before the Lord God, to pray and read the Word of God, in order for us to be spiritually strengthened, especially when the power of darkness is attacking God's children with the flood, referring the world. Now, keep in mind that the flood, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, was the most powerful tool that the power of darkness uses against God's children. Simply because, as it is written in Revelation chapter 12, verse 14 and 15, as well as 17, writes as follows, And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And so you see, my dearly beloved, the serpent that represents Satan himself would use the flood representing the world spiritually. And the world consists of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, as mentioned by the Apostle John. For that reason, the Apostle John says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so you see, my dearly beloved, God's servant were all trained from the wilderness. It doesn't make any difference whether it is John the Baptist, or our Lord Jesus Christ himself, or Moses for that matter. He was being put in the wilderness for 40 years before the Lord God would use him to lead the Israelites, to leave Egypt, and to cross through the Red Sea, isn't it? And so on. And likewise, Prophet Elijah also came out from the wilderness, as well as the Apostle Paul, who had to throw away the things that he had learned from school, simply because the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee before, and he studied in school the things of the Pharisees and the things of religion. And so finally he had to discard every one of those things and got into the wilderness of Arabia for approximately 3 years, as written in Galatians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18, as well as of the very fact that the Apostle Paul mentioned that he received the revelation of Christ Jesus directly from the Lord God himself in the wilderness. So you see, my dearly beloved, as God's children, it is very important to recognize that we are nourished spiritually in the wilderness, just as I've read to you earlier in the book of Revelation chapter 12, whereby the woman was nourished for 3.5 years in the wilderness in order to battle against the power of darkness. And likewise, God's servant came out from the wilderness and not from school, simply because our Lord Jesus Christ also was trained spiritually, quote-unquote, and tempted for 40 days in the wilderness before he came out to serve and to labor for our Heavenly Father, isn't it? Verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized of John in Jordan. Verse 10, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. So you see, my dearly beloved, just as John the Baptist says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now our Lord Jesus Christ came in order to set the Holy Spirit to indwell in each and every one of us the very moment we have accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ died in the cross and paid all of our sin debt in full and rose again from the dead, the Holy Spirit is then sent to indwell in each and every one of the genuine children of God, so that the very moment we confess and repent of our sins and wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, thereafter we become born again of the Spirit of God, simply because the Holy Spirit is sent in order to baptize each and every one of us with the Holy Spirit. And so today, my dearly beloved, there are a lot of people who could not comprehend the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, thinking that they go to church, believe in Jesus in their head, and did not genuinely confess or repent of their sins, and thereafter they go for water baptism, thinking that they are safe. And it is very sad to note, simply because that is but a fallacy, and that is a lie of Satan. Until unless you are born again of the Spirit of God by confessing each and every one of your sins from your heart through your lips, acknowledging that Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, had died to pay all the sin debt in full, so that the very moment all of your sins are repented of and washed by the precious blood of Jesus, and the very moment you acknowledge that from your heart, thereafter the Holy Spirit is sent into each and every one of our heart, so that you and I would become born again of the Spirit of God. And water baptism alone is wonderful, but water baptism alone without being born again of the Spirit of God cannot save you. Just as John the Baptist mentioned by saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So you see, my dearly beloved, there are many, many churches today that do not emphasize on the genuine repentance of sins and being born again of the Spirit of God, simply because all they have emphasized is water baptism instead of being born again of the Spirit of God. That is the genuine baptism of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? For that reason, my dearly beloved, it is sad to note, and it is a pity rather, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has become a diluted gospel, especially in the days that we are living right now, and that many churches are preaching but a social gospel whereby, at best, water baptism is good enough, instead of thoroughly purging each and every one of their sins and be genuinely born again of the Spirit of God, isn't it? And if you also notice right here that the very moment our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John, the Spirit of God, like a dove, descend upon our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as a voice from heaven that says, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And once our Lord Jesus Christ was filled by the Holy Spirit, he was driven into the wilderness in order to be able to battle against the power of darkness, as well as receive spiritual nourishments. Thereafter, our Lord Jesus Christ finally came out from the wilderness in order to begin his ministry. Likewise, my dearly beloved, it is very important as God's servant that we must learn to receive spiritual nourishments as well as revelations by spending time in the wilderness, just as our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ did set an example in here. Verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Verse 19. And when he had gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, verse 24, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commanded he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ had chosen Simon, Andrew, as well as James and John to be his disciples. And at this point of time, our Lord Jesus Christ had manifested the power of being the Son of God by casting out the devils and the unclean spirit to the point that the people were amazed of his authority. As it is written in verse 22, as well as the very fact that he taught them not as the scribes, but as one that had authority. And so, my dearly beloved, one of the most precious mark of the discipleship of Christ Jesus is preaching with authority, as well as casting out the devil with authority. And obviously, we also know that there are so-called preachers that are not genuine servants of our Lord Jesus Christ that preach more like the scribes than with authority. But the mark of the discipleship of our Lord Jesus Christ manifests one thing, that as his genuine servants, they are given authority over the power of darkness, just like our Lord Jesus Christ here manifests, as well as preaching unto repentance. Take, for example, Dr. Johnson was a very precious servant of our Lord God, as well as the disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, simply because whenever he preached, thousands would weep in tears and genuinely repent, born again of the Spirit of God, to the point that the prostitutes would totally repent and gave themselves up to become preachers during Dr. Johnson's time, as well as the gambling den would shut in a town that is located in the province of Shantung in China. Such power and authority can only reveal of the very fact that as Christ's disciple, indeed, Dr. Johnson was given the authority, isn't it? Likewise, Dr. Johnson also could heal the blind, the lame, as well as the bedridden, simply because he was the authorized disciples of Christ Jesus, isn't it? And so if our master preaches with authority, as well as cast out the devil with authority, and then as his disciples, we will be given the same authority to do his work, isn't it? For that reason, our Lord Jesus Christ says in his word, as recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 12, as follows. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So you see, my dearly beloved, that's exactly what Dr. Johnson had prayed for. In the name of Jesus, crying out to God, clinging to this promise, on the very day that the unbelieving world had sent him 2,500 people that are blind, lame, and deaf, and bedridden, and so on, and challenge him to prove that the risen Savior that we serve is very much alive and powerful today in the life and the word of his disciples. And at that point of time, Dr. Johnson began to cry to the Lord God because he refused to step down from the challenges of the unbelieving world in China. And as he began to cry to our Lord Jesus Christ for miracles and power and authority of healing, all of a sudden, our Lord Jesus Christ gave him that authority, isn't it? And as a result, on that same day, more than 1,000 blind, lame, deaf, and bedridden, and so on, were healed by him. And that itself is just the amazing proof of the very fact that the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, as I quote what Dr. Johnson said, is absolutely true, my dearly beloved. And likewise, I agree with Dr. Johnson, simply because the very moment you're fully grown in Christ Jesus, like Dr. Johnson, who led a life of absolute holiness, like John the Baptist, and are fully grown, filled by the Holy Spirit, thereafter, he was given that authority and that power to heal the blind and cast out the devil and the lame and so on. Just as our Lord Jesus Christ was walking on earth, as the Holy Spirit and the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ was being given to not only all of his apostles, including Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul and so on, as well as Dr. Johnson, who preached in 1935. Verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they would come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So you see, my dearly beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. Now keep in mind, my dearly beloved, there are many people that did not recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. And even today, there are many people out there that could not recognize a genuine disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ simply because they were blinded spiritually, but the devil could not miss the very fact that when a servant of the Lord God is filled by the presence of Jesus or the Holy Spirit, the devil would recognize instantly. Because we are sealed by the presence of the Holy Spirit that mark us as the disciples of Christ. And likewise, during Jesus' time, the devil recognized our Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy One of God, simply because the power of darkness could see instantly our Lord Jesus Christ being the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as well as the Son of God, isn't it? Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogue throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou can make me clean. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, shew thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Now, my dearly beloved, there are a couple things right here that are precious for us to learn. First and foremost, in verse 35, our Lord Jesus Christ spent time rising up a great while before the day and went and departed into a solitary place in order to pray. Now, that is one thing that each and every one of God's children have got to follow and take after the footstep of our risen Savior, that is, to come in the wee hours, in the wilderness, before the sun rises, to be able to receive spiritual nourishments before the throne of grace by reading the Word of God and praying, so that we become spiritually alert against the power of darkness, as well as receive strength to be able to journey and battle the days with the lifestyle of godliness, isn't it? Without coming before the throne of grace and spending time in wilderness, we would not be able to receive strength spiritually to battle against the power of darkness that uses the world, the flood, just as I've read to you earlier, that would wash off the woman, referring to those that keep the testimonies of our Lord Jesus Christ. And obviously it refers to the sheep and to the bride of Christ, isn't it? And so as God's children, it is very important to rise up early in the morning, a great while before the day, just like our Lord Jesus Christ, in order to spend a solitary time alone with Him. Now, my dearly beloved, personally, I felt and experienced the same thing. If I did not spend time in the wee hours in prayer alone with our Lord Jesus Christ, I discovered that my spiritual alert system is down. And the very moment my spiritual alert system is down, I am not able to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if I spent time coming before the throne of grace in the wilderness alone with God in the wee hours, I also discover that the Holy Spirit will clearly speak to my ear and in my heart. And so going into the wilderness is crucial for God's children, simply because the Holy Spirit would be uplifted and much revelations, especially in terms of the work of God as well as the spiritual warfare, will be unveiled during the time of the wilderness in the wee hours. And personally, I had much revelation that was unveiled to me whenever I spent quiet times in the wilderness, especially in the wee hours. Mark my word, and I would encourage you to spend that moment of time in order to be able to receive strength as well as to battle spiritually and grow in the spirit as well. Now, secondly, in here you will notice that there came a leper to our Lord Jesus Christ, beseeching him to be healed. Now, what is the meaning of leper spiritually? A leper, first and foremost, refers to someone that is ill spiritually, that are filled with a lifestyle of sins. And a leper is a disease whereby the blood is unable to reach to a certain part of the body, and obviously before long that section or that part of the body will shrivel and dry up simply because of the disease whereby the blood is not able to reach out. Now keep in mind, spiritually blood refers to the life of Christ. And so if the life of Christ is being stifled because of sins, then we are lepers in the sight of God spiritually. And the very moment we are filled and stifled with sins within our spiritual system, or our heart for that matter, then obviously, my dearly beloved, we would not have any strength to be able to act upon the word of God or journey along the path of the cross. And in that scenario, it is best for us to come before our Lord Jesus Christ, before the throne of grace, and by faith, just like this leper, and begin confessing each and every one of our sins, so that the very moment we wash them by the precious blood of Jesus, the blood will begin to flow through on that area of our spiritual life, isn't it? So that the Holy Spirit would be restored and joyfully is able to live within our heart and once again be uplifted as the Lord of our life, so that in order for you and I to be able to journey and battle against the power of darkness as well as the lifestyle of sin victoriously, as our risen Savior is always prevailing and victorious, isn't it? Now, my dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you through His words today. May you remember to walk as our risen Savior, constantly putting on the four faces of the cherubs that represent the four faces of our risen Savior that manifest charity, as well as righteousness and holiness, and finally victoriousness over sins, over our flesh, as well as the power of darkness. And let us continue to humble ourselves and petition before the throne of grace in wilderness in order to receive power and strength of the risen Savior, so that wherever we go, we will always glorify our Heavenly Father, as well as uplift the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' most precious and wonderful name, I ask and pray for. Amen.